This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming your way in 20 minutes, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. Are the Broncos starting to distance themselves from Russell Wilson's nightmarish season? That's in 20. In 40, we continue with the Tanks Govern celebration as we are kicking off the 12 DAs season with my four candidates for unfair omission. Into the final 16, 12 DAs, and then the first four out. We'll talk about the U.S.'s win over Iran coming up here shortly. But this Hugh Freeze hire at Auburn has big time boom and big time bust potential. The boom is that Hugh Freeze has won in difficult places to win. He has proven to be successful as a recruiter, as a head coach. But he also has massive bust potential because he rarely bends to anybody else's expectations, governance, regulations, likes to do things his way, and is socially pretty awkward. At a place like Auburn, where there is massive scrutiny, major attention, and huge pressure, this has the potential to be great. He's beaten Bama twice at Ole Miss in a row, but also less than. Yesterday, a thrilling win by the U.S., Sports Illustrated has multiple boots on the ground in Qatar. One of those pairs of boots belongs to our good friend, senior writer for SI, Greg Bishop, who joins us over Zoom. So you can watch Greg on our simulcast at watchda.com on YouTube and on Twitch. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Thank you for having me, and welcome to the neighborhood out here.
How has the first week and a half been in Qatar?
Well, you know, this is actually my 18th day, so I've been writing a lot about the country. I've been up in the abandoned fishing villages. I've been to Doha Port. I went to camel racing. I went to Saudi Arabia after they won. I've ridden just a ton. And, you know, I've covered sports on six continents over my career, and I would say this is the most interesting experience I've had. It's been all over the map. You know, we're probably being tracked. some weird stuff going on with my laptop. Some really beautiful people out here, great souls, and a lot of good opportunities for writing. So I've actually enjoyed it a lot more than I expected to.
Give me the juice on camel racing. What was cool about it? What was weird about it?
Well, it actually dates back to the 7th century. And recently they started using robotic jockeys, which I thought was pretty cool, in order to move the camels forward. Before that, it's like a lot of things here. There were human rights violations. They were using kids as young as 2 years old to hop on these camels and ride. They go 65 kilometers an hour. As you can see, I dove pretty deep here. And it was just fascinating. I mean, you wake up every day and you go, man, I just watched some camels race around a track. And that's sort of a good summary of the experience so far.
How do they have robotic jockeys? What did that look like? How does that work?
Well, they take spectator sport to a new level here. And so the jockeys are attached to the camels, and the people that control the jockeys are in these like Land Cruisers, and they drive alongside the track. Now, fans can also drive too. So it has a bit of a, like a derby rally feel, along with, you know, a functional purpose in terms of having the jockeys go. I kept asking if there was like a Michael Jordan of the camels, you know, somebody that just was dominant and won over and over, but apparently their careers are pretty short-lived.
Greg Bishop joins us from Qatar, cover the World Cup for Sports Illustrated. The sense here in the States is that this tournament's a disaster because there's so much geopolitical stress and strife. How they got the bid through bribery, the building of the stadiums through migrant workers who are put in terrible situations, many of whom died, and you know the shutting down of free speech and of gay rights, etc. When you're there, how much stress, how intense is all of that stuff?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different layers to it, and I guess it sort of starts for me with the juxtaposition, right? Those things that you mentioned are real. I've talked to a lot of migrant workers out here. I spoke to a guy yesterday who had worked on Lusail Stadium, where I went to watch Messi the other night, and Messi was his favorite player. And this guy told me he saw two people fall to their deaths, you know, no harness, no anything. He went back to his country in more debt than he came here with. You know, I think that stuff is always hanging over everything. But what's interesting about Qatar is 90% of the people that live here aren't from here. And there's sort of a caste system within a caste system in terms of the workers. So I go to the same coffee shop every morning. All the coffee shops are run by Filipinos. Most of my cab drivers are from Bangladesh or Pakistan. Most of the people that work in the restaurants are from Europe. And I found those people to be incredibly friendly. In some ways, it feels more friendly than my life in the United States. And you just have to sort of remember everything. You're in these big opulent stadiums. It sort of feels like Arabian Nights a lot of the time, but it doesn't erase what happened to the workers, and it doesn't erase the laws and norms here that are making people uncomfortable. And so that very juxtaposition is what I've been trying to explore out here. I'm writing about a woman's experience, the one who dresses up as Wonder Woman, if you saw her on TV. You know, I've written about the beer and how it wasn't really about the beer when they banned it. It's really about sending a message that Qatar is in control of this World Cup. And so to me, that juxtaposition is in some ways sad, in some ways hardening, and it's just ever present. You can't escape it at all.
Are fans having a good time as you've seen in other World Cups?
Yeah, I would say it's a little different because they encounter the same logistical hurdles. But I've actually befriended a lot of the U.S. fans. They have an awesome community out here. And last night I went to a house party near the stadium, and they were all celebrating the big win over Iran. And I thought, you know, they've created something that I think will be unique as they look back and remember it. I just don't think the legacy will ultimately be about that. I think it'll be about everything else.
Hmm. Greg Bishop, senior writer, SportsIllustratedSI.com, is joining us live from Qatar right now. You can watch him on Zoom, on our simulcast at WatchDA.com, on Twitch, and on YouTube. As far as yesterday's victory, it's as enormous as it gets in terms of soccer history for the States. They needed a win desperately to move on to the knockout stage and got one through their superstar, Christian Pulisic, thrusting his body into harm's way. What do you think that that win yesterday signifies for us as a soccer nation?
You know, I think there was a lot of talk, you know, going into the tournament about how this team was young, it was building, it had a lot of talented players. And I think what we've seen over the course of three games is that maybe, it's arriving a little bit earlier than people expected. I mean, you look at how the back line has played fantastic in all three games. You know, they went toe-to-toe with England. That was the coolest tie that I've ever seen in my life. And, then they go out and get the goal when they needed it yesterday. And I thought my favorite part was Greg Berhalter trying to explain in the press conference where Christian got injured. You know, I think he said below the abdomen.
Yeah.
And I think he really put it all on the line for Team USA. And so I think there's a lot to like about this team. You know, my sense from the fans out here is they all kind of dread the inevitable. And yet I think that they have a chance, you know, in the knockout round. And I think it's because of the way their defense and their goalie have played so far.
Well, I would say that this is already a success because they got to the knockout stage and got the win yesterday. If they beat the Netherlands on Saturday, then it's an upset and it's a thrill. And anything that happens after that is complete gravy, right? I mean, at this point, that would be an enormous success just to win one more game against the Netherlands on Saturday. I think we might have lost the connection with Greg Bishop, who is in Qatar today, joining us after the big victory by the U.S. over Iran. To me, the tournament's a success now, and they could lose 4-1 to the Netherlands, and I think it's fine. I think they could win that match. I do. I think they could win that match. This is not a terrible draw for the U.S., and if they got through the Netherlands, that next match could be against a superpower, but it could be against Denmark. It could be against Poland. Those are winnable games as well. So from where we stand today, it's already a success. Anything more would be an incredible moment. I believe only one other time, 2002, the U.S. has gotten through this next first round of the knockout stage to get to the Elite Eight. So if they do that, it's a moment in time that the U.S. has almost never achieved. So we appreciate Greg Bishop's work with us and a tremendous story to tell, obviously, from a place where this has been really uncomfortable. There's been such an intensity of the geopolitics that has kind of overshadowed the soccer in many ways. But Greg is back with us here. And Greg, as I was just saying, to me, it's already a success just by getting through the group stage. If they beat the Netherlands, this is now gravy. That would be one of the great moments in soccer history if they could get just through the Dutch. But they don't have to get through the Dutch, right, to make this a big success.
Absolutely. Sorry that my earpiece fell out there. This 18 days has been a battle of man versus tech. And, we're probably on the losing end of that one. But, yeah, I think any way you look at it, they played three pretty good games, you know, toe-to-toe with England, one mistake against Wales, dominated up to that point. And then, obviously, the first half last night against Iran was pretty incredible. And so I think either way you look at it, they are young, they're building, they're exciting to watch. You know, for me, as a person who covers American football mostly, it's kind of an easy team to like. You know, they have a lot of things to say. They're very accessible. I just think that it's a success either way. And if they win this game, then you start to talk about, you know, the history of the U.S. men's national team. Some of the amazing years, the Landon Donovan goal comes to mind and what they're building. And, you know, I actually have a lot of folks back home in the U.S., you know, people we went to college with, DA, that are very interested in what the World Cup is like. And that's a new feeling for me. I haven't seen this level of excitement over soccer in the United States, you know, since I really started writing about sports.
Greg Bishop joining us this morning here on the show. Greg, I appreciate your intrepid reporting. Nice job on camel racing. Can't wait to read more of your stuff at SI.com and follow Greg on Twitter as well for the latest from Qatar. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I always appreciate it.
You got it. Greg Bishop joining us, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, SI.com. He is rocking his Seattle Supersonics hat there because he's a Seattle native. I wanted to ask him about the Seahawks because he's been locked into that story for a long time, but I didn't want to test fate with his connection and his earpieces. And as you heard, there was buses and traffic driving by as he's on the streets of Qatar. So I said, you know what, DA, you punt and play field position here. But it's such a weird World Cup. I mean, it's just so weird. And I don't like the fact that this is in the fall, sandwiched between all of the holidays and regular NFL and college football and the NBA. I think it can get lost in the shuffle. I think the summer is such a perfect time to do it. You're also not worried about guys and their rest coming out of a club season. These guys are sandwiching the biggest tournament of their lives mid-season for them. I mean, imagine that. It's kind of like when the NHL goes to the Olympics and you have to shut down the season. Are those guys really quite ready? But, you know, for them, many times, you know, winning a Stanley Cup is far more rewarding than a gold medal in the Olympics. For this, it's completely opposite. I mean, a club title is great and Champions League titles are great, but nothing cements your life like a World Cup championship. So this is just bizarre in that way. It's bizarre that there's so much geopolitics involved. It's bizarre that it can get testy between reporters and players. I'm going to play the audio for you coming up later on in the show of a reporter from Iran aggressively trying to take down one of the U.S. players, Tyler Adams, for mispronouncing Iran. That was a weird moment. Tyler handled himself remarkably well. What a tremendous representative for us as a country. But the whole thing's been so weird. It's just been so weird on so many levels. But I will tell you this. Are people watching? Hell yeah, people are watching. The viewing numbers from the weekend, if you count Thursday as the weekend, Giants-Cowboys did a stupid number. I think 42 million people watched Giants-Cowboys, which today, nobody watches anything in 42 million. Nothing. So Giants-Cowboys. But then after that, it was Michigan-Ohio State. 17 million people watched that. That's a massive number for college football. Massive. 16 million watched U.S.-England. And 15 million watched Sunday Night Football. So that shows you that in the block of massive sporting events being viewed today, Ohio State, Michigan, and just a tick below that was U.S.-England. And U.S.-England beat Sunday Night Football. So a lot of Americans are watching this tournament, which is great that they've performed well. They played really well against England, deserved a better outcome. They played really well yesterday, certainly for the first half, and got the win and got the goal and move on. Coming up here on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day, including one future Hall of Famer saying the Broncos are close to quitting on Russell Wilson. And a Schwartz story for the ages. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And thanks to everybody that listens across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide. Also, thanks to those who listen on SiriusXM 158 and stream us using the free Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app. Soundcheck begins with Joe Thomas, a member of the Amazon Thursday night NFL analyst team. And he was on the 33rd team podcast. We saw a member of Russell Wilson's defense getting in his face aggressively on Sunday and saying, "Let's bleeping go." Here's Joe Thomas.
Mike Purcell yelling at Russell Wilson is a seminal moment in the season, because the next time the defense gets frustrated and the offense is not holding up their end of the bargain, the defense is just going to give up. Because the last thing you do before you give up is you get really, really frustrated, and then you take out your anger on the other side of the football by yelling at them. The next thing you do when you continue to be frustrated is you just stop giving a shit.
You just stop giving a bleep. I think Thomas is right. Thomas would know. Thomas played 11 seasons in Cleveland for a lot of bad quarterbacks that he was blocking for, and a lot of teammates that I'm sure were very frustrated by the quarterbacking. And in Denver, this was not the way it was supposed to go. Nobody on that team, nobody inside that locker room entered the season thinking they were going to be eliminated from the playoffs this early and that the offense would be this bad. And the issue is, it's not like the entire team stinks. The defense is a top five scoring defense in the NFL. It's actually third in points allowed. But this team is one of the worst offenses in the NFL. It's the worst at scoring points, behind even the one-win Texans. So it's a defense holding up its end of the bargain, looking at a quarterback that keeps saying, "Let's ride, let's ride,
let's ride,"
and not doing it. I mean, the most impressive thing from that household the last month has been Ciara doing the Michael Jackson Thriller impersonation. At least somebody in that household's doing something productive. Russ is a nightmare. And I could absolutely see guys turning him, because he's hard to play with anyway because he's so artificial. Here's Jared Jones. Was on with Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And Jerry, oh no, is that a Jody Mack moment?
We've got help on the way here. Washington's got a good chance to be joining us here real soon. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yep. Get me some oxygen. Better still, how about a big shot of Jack? We'll be ready to go this morning.
That's not a bad call.
I don't know. I don't trust him with any shot at Jack. I think he does need an oxygen tank. That's funny when you're 50. It's funny when you're 60. When you're 80, it's scary.
That clip was the first time I'm convinced Odell will sign with the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones will pay him an enormous amount of money, knowing this January might be it.
Jerry got a Super Bowl. That was the Packers Super Bowl, wasn't it? That was the Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl in Texas.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that's his only Super Bowl, I believe.
Yeah, Jerry because World. That was a week where they got hit with horrible snow and ice.
Yes. Do we think Jerry ever sees another Super Bowl in his stadium?
Himself seeing it?
Well, how else would I... What else?
Oh, I'm
would
saying
I mean?
Like
From
I
heaven, you
his
mean?
Ghost.
Yeah, like I think that at some point Jerry will get another Super Bowl, but will he see?
Yes, will he be
physically?
Around
no,
because I think the next three Super Bowls are already set.
They are right. So we have Arizona, some kind of Fort Vegas, and New Orleans. Yeah, and again, my guess is they want to head back east. You'll probably get another Miami before you
There's
going to
be
that.
Atlanta in there.
Another Atlanta.
Because that stadium's awesome.
And then by the time the Chicago one maybe gets done, you know, they're going to throw them a bone. Yeah, I mean, there'll be another one there. Jerry ain't seeing it. Steven will see it.
This year is in Arizona. Next year is in Vegas. The year following is in New Orleans. So the earliest one that can get back to Jerry World would be February 2026.
No. No, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Jones family.
Are you coughing like Jerry?
No, because I feel horrible saying that. Like, that's somebody's grandfather. But no, he ain't seen it because he ain't going to get the first one anyway.
Yep.
I'm thinking it's 8 years before Jerry Jones gets one. I mean, you know.
He's 80.
It's, put it this way. There have been definitely TV companies that have the montage ready to hit play.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. You think that Fox Sports has the Jerry Jones retrospective ready to go for the next Cowboys game, if needed?
If needed, there has, I think before this season, we officially put one in some kind of digital library. All the networks worked on it. I mean, it's morbid, but there are people that work on these things. You try to foreshadow.
No, I know.
The Jerry Jones one, there is one ready to hit play on standby if need be.
Yeah, when I worked at New York One here in New York City, I mean, we would have obits for pretty much anybody above the age of 75-ish.
Yeah.
Like, we're ready. We were ready for all that.
We're ready.
You were ready.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we think the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Dallas newspapers have an obit ready to go for Jerry Jones the moment that the news comes down, they can hit send?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. There's probably already a cover printed for the Dallas Morning News, too. This is horrible. I hate the Cowboys, and I even feel horrible about this conversation.
Yep.
He's lived a good, long life. He's seen all of his dreams come true. They won 3 Super Bowls. He was the owner. He has manipulated his way through the league for a long time, strong-arming people, paying off people, slapping them on the back, manipulating the media. Believe me, he's good. He's good. No matter if it happens today or 20 years from now, he's good.
I agree.
We have a picture of him in his teenage years standing in front of diversity at a high school. Was that a high school or a college? High school, didn't want integration, or he says he was just curious. Interesting to be curious for up close and personal abject racism. I'm just curious to see not allowing black kids to attend this school. I just want to see it up close. But hey, Jerry, you know, gonna scoot on that too, because other members of the media get luxury suites to Jerry World. They don't mind. Hey, he was a kid. Now, who knows what happens when you're 14 or 15 years old?
And there's somebody who may or may not be a daughter not from his marriage.
No, there definitely is a daughter not from his marriage that he's paid to keep silent for 25 years. Not may or may not. That is definitely happened.
Well, that, okay.
And that definitely happened. Oh, there's also pictures of him that look, if it's not him, it looks very close. I mean, it's almost identical to him with his hands in the crotch of other women that look to be potentially
right.
Women of the night. Working girls. So, I mean, so again, let's not get too worried about the sensitivity of an 80-year-old guy that might croak. Okay?
So shoveling the dirt here, is that what we're saying?
You know, hey. If this is Jerry's last breath on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Great ratings for them.
I'm sorry, I'm not shedding a tear.
It's great for them, too.
We'll get Jay Novacek up and ready we go.
If the last moment on earth was Jerry Jones coughing to death on Sean and RJ, and they got to put the JJ sticker in the back of the helmet the rest of the way for the Cowboys.
Jeez.
Hey, you know what?
By the way, that ain't going to be no sticker. That other star on the other side of the helmet is going to be his face.
That's right. It's going to be like the Steelers helmet. One side is one side is the other. One side is the star. One side is Jerry Jones' face. Finally, we have a classic Peter Schwartz moment. He was on WFAN in New York earlier this morning, and, well, he can tell you.
Now the food comes out. My younger son's chicken, buffalo chicken tenders, whatever you want to call them, zingers, they call them there.
Zingers.
Yeah. No buffalo sauce on them. They came out naked.
Okay, naked zingers.
That's a problem. So, like, that's wrong.
Did she bring the sauce, the buffalo sauce, out and pour it on you?
No. Oh. No. That I wouldn't have minded because at least
you,
I like
you
buffalo.
Enjoy that.
Well, I would have just, like, licked it up. You know, sure. I would have, that would have been, wouldn't have been a problem. My other son's meal came out with the wrong sauce.
Oh, my goodness.
On it. Then my food comes out and it's ice cold. I took a French fry and
cold.
Ice cold. And it was a chicken sandwich that had cheese on top of it. They must have just, like, put, they forgot about the cheese, and they put, like, this piece of cheese on top of it before they brought it out. It wasn't even melted. So we sent it back. Now, we didn't ask for a manager. We just said, send it back. Manager comes over. Now, mind you, 3 weeks before this, we're there again, and there was a situation where an inordinate amount of time it took for the food to come out. We were there over an hour before the food came out, and there was nobody there. The same manager comes over. We didn't ask for him. He comes over and says, this seems to be a recurring thing with you people. What can we do to make it right, make you guys happy?
That is awesome.
And I said, excuse me? Yeah, you complain all the time. And I'm like, your server spilled ranch dressing all over me. My kids' meals came out incorrectly. My food was ice cold. And he goes, yeah, it's a recurring. We got up and walked out. I'm not going to be insulted after your service was god-awful.
Remember for Trash Tuesday yesterday, I told a story about going to a certain fast food chain and waiting in the drive-thru line for a while, and I got my food and it was cold and I still ate it, and I went inside to go to the bathroom and it was not working, and I was like, you know what? Let's just hit the road. You know what I didn't do? Go back to the same place every single week with my family! This is Schwartz's fault! He's had all these terrible experiences, but just keep shoveling the kids and the fries into his face.
And I wish soundcheck clips were allowed to be 8 minutes long, because there was really good meaty stuff here I had to cut out, including him complaining on Twitter and the Levittown Chamber of Commerce director contacting Pete to see if he could smooth it over between him and the Miller's Ale House.
No,
that's what this was. Yes.
No.
Yes.
The Chamber of Commerce?
We don't want Peter Schwartz upset. But here's my big theory.
Oh, no.
In a DM, not publicly, by the way. It was in a DM, apparently.
I respect this manager of this restaurant so much.
For finally putting the foot down.
Because I'm sure when that family swung the door open and he saw them walk in, he said to himself, not today. Not today.
I will not be walked over by the Schwartz
today.
Not today.
And I would dare say that past complaints like taking the food too long or whatever, that whatever this family, because we've seen them now complain about IHOP on Mother's Day, there's a chain reaction of wanting a gift card here of events. And this manager probably organized a meeting with his wait staff, kind of like a players-only meeting in the Arizona Cardinals locker room, and said to them, whatever you do not give them A-plus service. I want them to complain today.
Oh,
We're taking a dive with this family today.
Right?
I want them to complain
for the
today.
Schwartz family.
And then, because Schwartz says in there, I didn't ask for a manager.
Suck
that manager,
for Schwartz.
That manager was waiting for the moment. And that food went back, and that manager went right out there, and he said, why am I going to keep doing this? I don't need, who cares if it's bad pub from them? I am so tired of dealing with this once a week. By the way, 3 weeks ago, but give me a break. They were there a week ago.
Well, service, he says he goes there awful. Once a week. Like, it's one of their spots.
Yeah, because for a while, it was Kids Eat Free on Tuesdays. And then people realize his kids aren't kids anymore.
So you think that there's been, aside from last night and 3 weeks ago, you're saying that this has happened more than twice?
Or he hasn't officially complained on other trips, but the waiters and waitresses have gone back and complained themselves.
But Pete has such a good heart, and we love Pete around here, and he's such a indelible. He's such a good member of the show. But he's got a screw loose when it comes to getting free stuff. He really, I mean, they collect 5 baseballs at every minor league baseball game they go to. He's collecting hundreds of pucks. He took a puck home from an Islanders skate around as a reporting journalist. He took home a sneaker of a G League player. I mean, come on. You got a sneaker. He has looked for the gift card from IHOP during the pandemic on Mother's Day,
right,
of all times when everybody is struggling and stretched thin on service. And he's gone back to the same Miller's Ale House manager so many times, the manager came out and said, enough is enough. I love Pete, but he's got a screw loose about getting free stuff and better service, and he tries to leverage and manipulate every situation and to benefit himself to the nth degree. And I think you're right, Mraz. This is not a one-off. This is not a bad day for that manager. That is a kitchen that has been dealing with the Schwartz complaints for far too long, and they finally snapped.
Broncos defense.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's the Broncos defense.
You're right. EJ says it's the Broncos defense.
Now, there's three just quick, subtle things I want to hit on. He started the day before any food complaining they didn't have the Islander game on because it was on ESPN Plus. So he tweeted about that and tagged Miller's Ale House. So you know they're seeing that and they're annoyed.
Okay.
Number two.
He set the groundwork.
Number two. Look, everybody can talk about food coming out cold. I'm sure his fries weren't ice cold. They didn't literally take it out of the freezer.
He keeps saying ice cold. It is not ice cold.
It's an egregious overreaction.
And fries are rarely cold because they just keep... I mean, at an ale house, it's just fries after fries.
Which, if they were cold, tells me they took a dive.
It's a good thing that Miller's Ale House has a Twitter account so they can update people on when they have their Zinger discount on Tuesdays.
And this is the third and biggest breadcrumb of the whole thing. He talks about getting up and walked out. We all know Peter Schwartz. Do you think Peter Schwartz ordered those zingers and his chicken sandwich and that was it? Or do you think Peter Schwartz had a spinach artichoke dip or something earlier?
You think he finished the food and then walked
out? No, I think he finished an appetizer and they definitely nibbled on their meal and walked out. I think that was a dine and dash. I don't think they paid any money for that food on the way out.
I was thinking about that. Like, I didn't think he paid either.
He did not pay. No way. And so they might have taken one bite, but they did not pay for anything that they ate at that.
And that's a server's waste of time, a waste of table, the whole thing.
That's also a really risky thing. Like when you go out to eat with somebody, and I'm sure you know people in your life that might be disrespectful to a server or a maitre d' or a bartender. That's a big risk in a restaurant because they will mess with your food.
Oh, yeah.
They will mess with
your
drinks.
I never do that. Yep. I hate
it. It is a very, very risky thing.
I never, ever, ever cause a stir because I just fear the spit in the burger.
Mm-hmm.
I would just...
Or, I hate to say it, laxative in anything.
I play nice.
Not going to be insulted.
He can't ever go back there. He can't show face
again. Oh, he will because they'll give him 25 bucks. And a gift card, and he'll be back next Tuesday for Zingers Eat Free Night. All right, that's sound check. Greg Caserta's in for Bogus today. He has our headlines.
I'm gonna play more Schwartz audio in the next update. I don't want to run it because I only have a couple of minutes here, but I'm gonna run it in the next update. Because Mraz said there was so much gold.
Yeah, and that's really the biggest sports news of the morning.
That was a lead for 8 minutes at 5 a.m. on WFAN in New York.
And I love Al Dukes, too, because he's like, so what happened? She came over and dumped buffalo sauce all over you? Like, perfect straight man of that whole thing. 1-0 win over Iran yesterday in their final group stage match. The U.S. men's soccer team moved on to the round of 16 at the World Cup.
Rezaian back inside. U.S. players are gassed. Iranians are up. It comes into the box again. An Iranian player looking for a penalty. And the game is over.
I like the call from John Strong on Fox. Christian Pulisic risked life and limb to crash the net and bang home the match's only goal in the 38th minute. He missed the entire second half and was later taken to a hospital and diagnosed with a hip contusion. There's that great picture of Pulisic in the hospital flexing his right arm with the tattoo sleeve and the caption reading, "So bleeping proud of my guys. I'll be ready Saturday. Don't worry." We talked about it last hour. That's against the Netherlands on Saturday morning at 10 Eastern. You also have two matches this morning at 10 Eastern. France already clinched Group D. They face Tunisia. You also have Denmark and Australia with the winner moving on in that one. In the last update, I talked about Cristiano Ronaldo getting a three-year, $225 million offer from a club in the Saudi Arabia.
Basically, it's the live tour of soccer that he would...
Okay, so here's why I bring this up, because it turns out one of our very own athletes topped Forbes' richest athletes list in 2022, and it's probably not who you think.
The richest?
Richest. Richest athlete 2022.
I would say it's one of the soccer players. It's Messi. It's Ronaldo.
So it's Phil Mickelson.
Oh.
Made $138 million this year thanks to his LIV Golf deal. Apparently, it's $102 million in on-course earnings plus $36 million off-course, which includes...
Could you imagine paying Phil $100 million for 1 year of golf when he's not even good enough to win a major anymore?
How ridiculous is that money in LIV?
But it doesn't matter. It's not like they have to turn a profit. It's not like there's any end to the money or board of governors or stakeholders. It's just like, well, whatever the number is, we'll just pay it.
Now, that Forbes list came out in July, but I bring this up because we had Tiger Woods news yesterday. He withdrew from the Hero World Challenge, which is his charity event in the Bahamas, because he can't walk, really. He's got plantar fasciitis in his right foot. Yep. But he also dished on the PGA Live relationship and said the only way the sides could coexist is if Live CEO and Commissioner Greg Norman is no longer involved. Tiger was also asked if he's looking to retire anytime soon.
Who, me? Retire? No. No. I'm not retiring. Am I not playing a full schedule? Yes. I've told you guys that many times. That's just my reality. I don't like it, but I just have to accept it.
I don't blame him, obviously, because his health is not under his control. But I mean, not retiring is a little bit of a loose interpretation. He's going to play three events a year.
It's almost like he's got one foot in, right?
And so what? If Tom Brady plays in two games a year for the Buccaneers, is he not retired? He just plays the opener and then like Thanksgiving. Is that not retired? I mean, I guess it's not technically retired, but you're not really playing anymore.
And right. And golf is a different sport in that basically you can retire while still just popping in and out random.
Yeah.
Right?
And then there's the senior tour.
Well, he's almost doing what the older guys are doing now, where like Tom Watson comes back and just plays
exactly.
The four majors. That's
yes.
Basically what Tiger does
so,
now.
Right. That's right. So is Tom Watson retired? I would say yes.
Right. People retire to play golf. So if you're already a golf player and then you're just playing the same amount of times we're playing, you're just retired from the everyday stresses of golf.
I would say Tiger will play less golf from here on out in his life than BT does.
Wow.
What'd you say? I mean, honestly, he's going to play three tournaments. BT definitely plays more than three invitationals a year for some charity. And he must go out. BT probably goes out 2 to 3 times a month during the summer.
Definitely.
He plays a full 18. I would say that Tiger's going to end up playing less golf than most weekend warriors will play golf from here on out.
You're
so
right.
Is he retired? He's kind of retired. He's going to come back for a few ceremonial majors.
I think Alice Cooper plays every day. That's why he lives out in Arizona.
So he'll play more than Tiger.
Yeah. And that's what we got.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. When we come back here on the show, we celebrate another round of Tanks Govern. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Govern, everybody. It's your Muzak version of All Ye Faithful. We are here to look back on the 2022 DA show season and look ahead to the 12 DAs, which begins tomorrow. Here's another clip that I think was unfairly omitted. Remember when Mraz was caught in a lie, deleting texts, DMs, and tweets to Maggie Gray? This happened 1 year ago. When he was exposed. You know, when I was called out for not being in the building, I'm like, yeah, I wasn't in the building.
Oh, I got screwed. I didn't know Gallup was coming on to ram me up like a roast beef in an oven. Woof. You all screwed me again. They're all Twix.
Woof.
And I got to protect myself because nobody here is protecting me. You screwed me. You screwed me. Bogus screwed me. Cap definitely screwed me.
From
and
what?
Pizza screwed me.
How do we screw you?
We should be together. If we're all hating on Zach Gelb and Matt Rhule, don't say, well, once Mraz liked him.
No.
Hey, guys, Zach's got tweets. Mraz, you better get rid of him. Look out for me.
I didn't know.
Somebody knew because suddenly Zach Gelb's calling the hotline. I was blindsided by this.
How about you keep your mouth shut?
I didn't book him.
Maybe once
How about
in a
you
while.
You keep your mouth shut.
You keep your mouth shut.
You can go into the IRS left and right, but you have my back? No.
You lied.
All the thing what Gelb just said, he wanted to come on the show to defend himself with the Matt Rhule stuff that we talked about yesterday. Because we poked fun of the fact that Matt Rhule.
I don't believe that for a second. I think you knew what was going on.
No. Look.
You're Palmero in Congress.
Woof.
Gelb texted me and said, I wanted to respond to Mraz killing me over Matt Rhule. So I said, fine, come on. I didn't know he dug up.
I can't trust any of you. Somebody screwed me here.
Who can trust you?
Somebody screwed me.
Who can trust you? You lied to our faces.
It's Christmas time. Have my back. Somebody tell me he's coming for me on Matt Rhule. Somebody do a search. Let me know.
But why? So that you could delete the tweets?
Yeah, so we don't look like fools. I look like a fool now. now.
I don't want to look like a fool.
Me neither.
I already admitted to swallowing farts in a jar. Now you're making me look like a fool with Zach Gelb and Matt Rhule.
So wait a second. You want me to tell you Zach's got your old tweets so that you can then delete them?
Yeah, so we get one over on him.
I look like a fool. We look like fools. I don't want to look like a fool. It was my mistake. I thought that was the Maggie Gray DMs that were exposed. That was 2021.
Yes.
This was 2022, although December of 21, when Mraz had old Matt Rhule supportive tweets that Gelb was going to expose, and then Mraz deleted them, but not before Gelb had him screenshot it. Let's get one over on him. I don't want to look like a fool. Why should today be any different? Mraz lashing out at us because he lied and he was hiding behind his old tweets. I mean, I know that we had an amazing year of the 12 DAs, but that one, how does that one not even make the final 25? That was my problem. That should have gotten through to the final 25. How do we leave it under the cutting room floor? Come on. Come in. When we come back, is the Rose Bowl overplaying its hand? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.